In the early 1980s, Pakistan, with the help of the U.S., subsidized the Islamic fighters who defeated the Soviets in Afghanistan. Pakistan also helped in the creation of another militant Islamic group, the Taliban, which now rules most of Afghanistan. The Taliban has imposed a fundamentalist brand of Islam on territory under its control. This week, NPR's Michael Sullivan has a series of reports on how the Afghan conflict continues to influence South Central Asia. It begins today in Pakistan.
The Khyber Pass, the legendary gateway to Afghanistan, lies just short of the Afghan border. A monument to one side tells visitors of the pass's rich history. The Khyber, reads the inscription in the stone, has seen perhaps more invasions in the course of history than any other place in the world. It was through here that Alexander, Genghis Khan, and Tamerlane passed as they swept down into India. It was through here that the British feared Russian troops would come during the days of the Great Game to claim the prize that was British colonial India. The British built a series of forts that dot the barren, rugged hillsides that line the pass and a steam railway to provision them, a line that runs up a steep grade and runs through 40 tunnels and over nearly 100 bridges. The Russians, of course, never made it this far. The British are long gone, and the only thing the train carries now is curious tourists who take the three-hour journey to the border and back. But high above the track, along narrow goat paths on either side, a steady stream of people can be seen with enormous loads on their backs heading south. They are smugglers bringing goods from Afghanistan to Pakistan, carpets, car parts, and consumer items. Some observers fear that the same route will be used by the Taliban to export their brand of Islam to the subcontinent. In the tribal areas of Pakistan along the Afghan border, Taliban-style justice is already making inroads. In the Malakand district of the border belt, the Pakistani government has sanctioned trials based on Islamic law. In other areas, the Taliban's influence is being felt unofficially. In the Orakzai tribal area, religious leaders recently tried and executed a couple for adultery. Also in the Orakzai, religious leaders tried and convicted a man for killing his cousin. Saeed Mohammed Hussein was one of those who sentenced the man to death.
The execution was carried out by the firing squad. We invited the family of the murdered man to carry out the execution. First, the uncle started firing, then he was joined by the others. In the last 2 years, we made progress in controlling social evils and restoring the peace, and the people approved.
Public executions such as these would not have been possible, local observers say, before the arrival of the Taliban to the north. But they are just one element of a larger phenomenon, the destabilizing effect that decades-old Afghan war has had on Pakistan as a whole. Rasul Baksh Rais is a political scientist at the Qadiazm University in Islamabad.
Because of the proliferation of small arms in Afghanistan, and particularly the withdrawal of the Soviet forces, and because of the porous border, these arms are now available in large quantity at cheaper rates in almost every village, almost in every town, every corner of this country.
Dara Adam Khel Gun Bazar in Pakistan's northwest frontier province, not far from the Afghan border. Dozens of gun shops line the main road where customers sample the product in the street outside. Several hundred more gun shops can be found in the narrow alleyways that snake off the main drag. Haji Zaman is the owner of one shop, not much bigger than a walk-in closet. It is packed with weapons.
So let me see if I have this right. Right here, we have a Kalashnikov, and it came from Afghanistan.
Came from Afghanistan.
What we have here is a Chinese light machine gun, and this also came through Afghanistan, yes?
Yeah.
A used Kalashnikov will set you back about $100, he says. A new one, about $250. Business used to be better during the war, he says, but he's still getting by.
What is that in Kabul?
600 miles to the south is the port city of Karachi, Pakistan's commercial hub, where children dive in the bay in the shadow of the huge container ships offloading cargo for this city of 14 million. Many guns from the Afghan conflict have found their way here, upping the ante in the ethnic violence between Pakistanis born here and those who came from India after partition. Violence that killed more than 800 people in Karachi last year alone. The hustle and bustle along Shah Rahi Pakistan, one of Karachi's main thoroughfares with its music shops and appliance stores, belies the reality here. Sandbagged bunkers of the government's paramilitary troops can be found on rooftops at key intersections here in the city's central district. The gun culture has transformed this city, says Karachi columnist Razi Salahuddin, and so has another legacy of the Afghan war, drugs. Criminal syndicates shipping opium from Afghanistan abroad.
The damage done to the civil society in Pakistan has been a major backlash of that war in Afghanistan. Because of the hard drug and the money which came with it, gave birth to many mafias. And then when you have a mafia, sophisticated stage of a mafia, then it's difficult to do battle against it.
Another example of the damage done to civil society as a result of the Afghan conflict is the upsurge in sectarian violence. The city of Jhang is in the agricultural heartland of Pakistan, the Punjab. This region has witnessed some of the most brutal sectarian violence the country has known in recent years. Violence between radical Sunni Muslim groups and minority Shia Muslims. At this Sunni mosque of the radical SSP party, a sign above the door flatly declares no Shias allowed. Shias are the dirtiest and the worst infidels in the world, the sign reads. Pakistani intelligence officials say that many SSP members fought in Afghanistan during the war against the Soviets and after, and that many came home to continue their jihad or holy war, this time against the Shia minority. One of the SSP's leaders, Zia-ul-Haq Qasmi, says he is encouraged by the Taliban's success and wishes to emulate it in Pakistan.
Taliban jo hai sirf Pakistan ke liye nahi balki puri duniya ki islami tahreekon mein isne jaan dal di hai.
The Taliban have infused a new life into people who've become despairing and disappointed that the implementation of real Islam wasn't possible. The Taliban's emergence is a good, fresh message for all people who want a real Islam implemented, not only in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan and across the world as well.
And that message was perfected in places such as this one, the Darul Ulum Haqqaniya Madrasa, or religious school, 250 miles north of Jhang. Construction workers are busy adding new dormitory space to accommodate the growing number of students here. Some Pakistanis call this madrasa the nursery of the Taliban movement, a designation teacher Rashidul Haq does not dispute.
90% chidi 90% Taliban di agoy de dizna farq shividi da garangi pakhwa jukum jihad ki leaderano ji shpago ay bin shpak kasa.
By the grace of God, 90% of the Taliban leadership graduated from here, and we are proud of it. Scholars from all over the region, Pakistan, Afghanistan, they have come here and studied, and we have sent them back with a very high knowledge of Islam and the teachings of Islam.
There are more than a few fundamentalist groups in Pakistan who want to see the secular government here replaced with an Islamic one, and their influence, says political scientist Rasul Baksh Rais, is growing due to decades of mismanagement and corruption by successive Pakistani governments.
At the moment, the social fabric of Pakistan has not collapsed altogether. The problem is this. The mainstream modernist secularist Pakistani elite have been constantly failing to deliver good governance. And people, in desperation, may start looking towards the religious fundamentalist element in this country.
In the end, some analysts say the biggest threat to Pakistan may not be from the Taliban to the north, but from within. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Islamabad.